Well, good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome all of you. We are so glad that you're with us here on this first Sunday in Advent as we join together and remember so long ago the story that we've heard over and over again and rehearse again in our minds about the coming of the Messiah, Christ Jesus the Lord. And so we are glad that you're here today, and a little bit later on, we'll be talking for a little bit about, does worry and anxiety threaten your Advent Christmas season? And so maybe I can offer some wisdom that'll help out with that. So as we begin today, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son.
Let's join together for our call to worship. You alone, O Lord, our God.
Come now, O God.
You have done wonderful things in the past.
Come now, O God.
We need you here with us now.
Come now, O God.
We wait for you. Well, I'm going to go ahead, and some of the families want to start coming up with the kids and our teens and begin decorating. We're going to be singing our first hymn number 120, O Come Emmanuel, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint.
Rejoice, Emmanuel,
Okay, I know they're still decorating, but I'm going to have to ask for the kids if they can have a seat for a little bit here. Okay, maybe right there on the front row, and we're going to continue in just a moment there. Let's join together there for our opening prayer this morning. Giver of life, we acknowledge our need for the hope of Christ's presence and life. Visit us by your Spirit, so we may be renewed this Advent season. Amen. And you may be seated, and the Illifritz and Reed family are going to be coming this morning to share in our Advent readings and the lighting of our first candle this morning.
Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence, says the prophet Isaiah.
Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come,
proclaims Jesus. Advent begins in uncertainty with the candle of hope, looking ahead to Christmas morning. The angel Gabriel has just delivered his astounding good news to Mary, and now she finds herself surrounded by shadows.
Think of the vulnerability of a young, pregnant, unmarried woman in first century Palestine, or any time and anywhere. No wonder she sets out immediately to her cousin Elizabeth's house for a 3-month stay. God's promises are difficult to believe, even for so-called experts like Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, a temple priest who initially doesn't believe.
But Mary and Elizabeth do. Filled with hope, they magnify and rejoice in what God has done and is doing. Even more than Zechariah, they've taken care to keep alert to the signs of God's arrival, the surprising, often hidden ways God tears open the heavens and comes down.
Come, Jesus, come.
Okay, let us pray. God of light and shadow, kindle a new hope in our hearts. Keep us alert to the signs of your coming. With Mary and Elizabeth, give us the courage to trust. Rejoice and sing. Come, Jesus, come. Amen. We'll sing the first verse of Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.
Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room in thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. So if you do not know that one, you will know it by the end of Advent season. Jesus, there you go.
God, and that's true. Yeah, God's coming down in Jesus. Because you guys just talked about that in your readings there, for the first reading there. And we saw how two women, Elizabeth and Mary, who was going to be Jesus' mom, they were excited. At first, she was afraid. Mary was. But then she went and saw her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was so excited when she saw her. And she gave her a hug. And she said, "Blessed are you, Mary, because you are going to carry the Savior." And then they began to sing together. Do you like to sing in Christmas time? I know. Now, the song we sang this morning during that first hymn, that's kind of a slow kind of a hymn. Because it's always sung usually on the first Sunday of Advent. Because waiting from now till Christmas Day is slow. And sometimes takes a long time, doesn't it? And can you imagine when Mary first heard those words from the angel that she was going to carry baby Jesus? That was a long time. How long would that have been? Not good. 9 months. Somebody knows their anatomy. Very good. Yes. 9 months. 9 months. They had to wait. But you know what? They held out hope. Just like we hold out hope today. And sometimes when everything gets crazy and stressful, and mom and dad are like, "Oh, we got to get this done. We got to do this. We got to do that." And it gets a little crazy around the house. We got to get our tree up. We got to go get our tree. We got to get things on the tree. We got to put our light. I mean, it gets crazy sometimes during the holidays. And then the night or the morning of, when you go over to grandma's house or your own house or whatever people come over to your house, yeah, we got to get food made. We got to get this done. You got to get drinks. That's right. Yes. It gets crazy, doesn't it? And sometimes the season of Christmas can be stressful. But guess what? We have to trust and we have to hold on to hope like Mary and Elizabeth, and remember to sing all during that stressful time. Don't forget to sing. You think you could sing and help out at home? I think you could. I think it would be a cool thing. And then maybe then whoever's stressed out will start singing with you. Okay? All right. You can go on downstairs. Boy, I like sitting on this better than down on the floor. I have to start sitting on there. It's getting harder to get up. Yes.
So, as the kids are heading down this morning, we want to take some time this morning rather quickly, because we have still a lot to go yet in our service today. If you have a joy or concern, we want to encourage you to share that quickly this morning so that we can go to prayer.
My dad.
Yes, and that is Harry. We want to remember him this morning. And as he is going to be going in for surgery. What day is that?
The
18th, yes, 18th. And they're going to be fixing an aneurysm in his leg area.
Abdominal,
yeah. So, and pretty serious surgery there. And we definitely want to keep him in our prayers then. I saw another hand. Yep.
My son-in-law, Ian, is having extensive back surgery tomorrow.
Okay, another one coming up with surgery there. And what did you say his first name was?
Ian.
What is it?
I-A-N.
Oh, Ian. Okay. So we want to remember Ian then. I saw another hand. Yeah.
Lisa Welsh, she's having surgery on a plant. The little girl came with me from home.
Okay, who's having surgery?
Lisa Welsh.
Lisa, okay. All right, so we want to remember Lisa. Boy, there's a lot of them having surgery this week or coming up. Yeah.
I got a deer last week.
Yay! I told him last Sunday, I said, if you get a deer, I'll be waiting on that summer sausage. So There you go. Maybe I need to say that more often. Yes. And by the way, Eric is down in Kentucky. Isn't it Kentucky? Or wherever the cabin is. And he got a deer and his brother got two deers. And they put a picture on Facebook. They had them hanging in the barn and they had gutted them and were, yeah. So they do it the old way. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Jane. Okay, another one with surgery. Wow. Allie, if you remember, was a little girl that was born and had a lot of different issues. And we spent at least a year praying for her. And so she's kind of that little miracle girl there. Somebody else. Yeah.
I just want to thank everybody for the prayers for Harold. Knee surgery went fantastic and he's doing great.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yes, that's wonderful. I saw another hand, I think, in the back there. Yeah.
David went and seen the surgeon for his nasal, and she was so happy. She said it was all clear and everything that way, so he doesn't have to have that surgery. But they found a cyst in his brain. It's 7 millimeters, and he's got to go see a neurologist now.
Okay.
But she didn't see the thing. It's very serious.
Yeah. Well, you know what? In a way, we're thankful that they were able to find that other. Yeah. So we definitely want to keep David in our prayers then. Yeah. Go ahead.
We remember the family of Barry Coombs. He passed away.
Ah. So we want to remember the Coombs family. Somebody else. Yes. So let me put that in perspective here. Kathy told me it's like millimeters, very small. And hopefully they'll be able to get in there and get that out. And she won't have anything. They caught it very early, the surgeons, or the, is it, which one? One of the doctors anyways. They're going to see a surgeon here coming up this week. And definitely want to continue lifting up Bonnie. And this morning, somebody else. Yes, thank you for reminding me. I wanted to do that. She texted me this morning. She said, I won't make it. She's been battling this cough thing. I don't know if it's COVID or not. She didn't really say, but definitely want to keep her in our prayers. And she's been battling that. And did I see another hand? Yeah.
Unspoken.
And I saw another hand there.
Unspoken.
Okay. Two of those. Anybody else this morning? Yes. Okay. Yeah. And we know God knows what those are. Sometimes they're just, we can't always share everything. But we know the Lord knows. And we want to remember Sharon too, who is the sister of... hang on here. Let me think here for a second. Why am I not remembering her name? Lives just over here. Huh? Taylor. Yes. Who we've been praying for that's battling cancer. And we want to remember Sharon this morning. And yes, definitely. And anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, we can do that. There's no doubt that some of those years are very tough as a teenager, so.
And our daughter goes back to court, the judge is going to make a ruling this week, and it basically is on child support, and it'll make a decision whether she's going to be able to stay at the house.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we can pray for God's grace and favor in that situation, so definitely want to do that. So any others then? Lots, again, like we had last Sunday, lots of needs there and names. And I just encourage you as she plays there in that moment, maybe you can lift up some of these names that maybe come to your mind and lift them up to the Lord. or maybe some of your own needs that you couldn't share, and then I'll come and close us out in prayer. Lord, we're just so thankful as we enter this season of Advent that it helps us. It helps us with our hearts and our minds in remembering why you came into the world and why you lived your life and everything that you did and are doing for us. And we are grateful today, and we want to lift up each of the needs that have been mentioned today. So many of them, Lord. We think about Harry and Ian and Lisa and Allie, Lord, that are all going in for surgery here either this week or next week. God, we just ask for your grace, for your guidance, that you will just equip the surgeons as they operate, that they'll be able to accomplish what needs to be done, and that you'll guide that process and bring healing and wholeness and strength to each one of them. Lord, we lift up David to you, Lord, and we're grateful that the nasal passage thing there was not something serious, and but Lord, they discovered something else that they're not totally sure about yet, and we just pray for your wisdom and guidance and healing and strength there. We lift up Bonnie to you, God. We're thankful that they were able to capture this quickly and that they'll be able to hopefully do surgery here soon to take care of that and get that out of her body. And so we just pray for wisdom and guidance. This coming week, we lift up Sue and maybe others, Lord, in our congregation that are battling sickness. God, we just ask that you will be with them and bring your healing touch and your grace in those situations. Lord, we lift up Sharon to you, God, who's battling cancer and going through treatments. We just pray for your strength and healing for her. And it reminds me of so many on our monthly list, Lord. So many of them that are battling cancer and other serious illnesses. And we just pray for your healing touch for each of them. And we pray for your faith and grace and strength through everything that they're facing in life, God, and that you will let them know that they are loved and that you are with them. Lord, we lift up this situation in court there with the judgment with Tammy. God, we just pray for your grace and your favor in that situation, and that you will be present and give Tammy peace, we pray, through everything. And Lord, we lift up the Coombs family with the loss of this loved one. We just pray for your grace and your comfort and your touch there. We lift up Jacob to you this morning, God. Lord, sometimes being a teenager can be very tough, and so many expectations and this and that, and the way sometimes we're treated as young people, God. And we pray for your encouragement and strength through all of that. And then, Lord, we lift up these unspoken needs today. And maybe there was others today of those that couldn't maybe share something. We just pray for your hand of grace and mercy and love to be extended into those situations, and that you will make ways where there seems to be no way. And we're grateful and thankful for all of that. And Lord, we pray and ask your blessing upon the rest of our service as we break the bread of your word. May we find encouragement and strength in the hope that you have given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord, we also pray as we share at the table today, as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, that your presence will fill us and that we will go forth as hope-filled people to bring hope to others that maybe are struggling or hurting or angry or whatever it may be, God, that you will use us to be a blessing. And we thank you for all of these things. And we continue to pray for peace in our world, and that your hand through men and women and leaders around the world will go in the path of peace. And we're thankful for that. And so we give you thanks today, Lord, for all of these things as we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace.
Thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we want to say once again, thank you for your faithfulness in giving. It's how we can continue to extend God's love and grace and provision for people in need and in other ways, spiritual provision. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you that we have the privilege to be partners with you in the ministry of the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ our Lord, and that we have a way of making a difference in people's lives. Use this offering to further that work, and may we be a blessing in helping to bring your kingdom into people's lives, as we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Our scripture readings are coming from two passages. First of all, our lectionary psalm reading from Psalm 80, verses 1 through 3. And then an early lectionary gospel reading, which really comes on the third Sunday in Advent. But I'm going to be using this verse or some of these verses throughout the next Sundays as we look at the Advent season and all that's involved. So let's begin there with, first of all, Psalm 80. Shepherd of Israel, listen, you, the one who leads Joseph as if he were a sheep, you who are enthroned upon the winged heavenly creatures, show yourself before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Wake up your power. Come to save us. Restore us, God. Make your face shine, so that we can be saved. And then from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 42, when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to a virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David's house. The virgin's name was Mary. When the angel came to her, he said, "Rejoice, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was confused by these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Mary. God is honoring you. Look, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give you the throne of David, his father, or give him the throne of his of David, his father. He will rule over Jacob's house forever, and there will be no end to his kingdom." Then Mary said to the angel, "How will this happen, since I even haven't had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come over you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the one who is to be born will be holy. He will be called God's Son. Look, even in her old age, your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son." This woman who was labeled unable to conceive is now 6 months pregnant. Nothing is impossible for God. Then Mary said, "I'm the Lord's servant. Let it be with me just as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary got up and hurried to a city in Judean highlands. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. With a loud cry, she blurted out, "God has blessed you above all women, and he has blessed the child you carry." That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, the minister was preoccupied with thoughts of how he was going to ask the congregation about coming up with more money than they were expecting to repair some aspects of the church building. Therefore, he was annoyed to find that the regular organist was sick and a substitute had been brought in at last minute. The substitute wanted to know what to play. "Well, here's a copy of the service," the pastor kind of said impatiently. "But you'll have to think of something to play after I make the announcement about the finances." During the service, the minister paused and said, "Brothers and sisters, we are facing a great difficulty. The roof repairs cost twice as much as we expected, and we need $4,000 more. Any of you who can pledge $100 or more, please stand up." At that moment, the substitute organist played the Star-Spangled Banner. And that's how the substitute organist became the regular organist. That's not implying anything, Carla. I had found that, and it made me laugh, so I thought I would share it with you. I want to talk to you this morning about don't give up hope. According to the National Alliance of Mental Illness, in 2021, a poll showed that 3 in 5 Americans feel that their mental health is negatively impacted by the holiday season. Listen to these statistics. This is only a few years ago. 60% reported an increase in their anxiety. 70% felt financial stress. 56% said that they wish they could just cancel the holidays. Well, we may be tempted to think that worry and anxiety that we sometimes feel around the Christmas time is a 21st century invention. But worry associated with fear was a part of the original Christmas story. Mary's dreams were simple. She wanted to marry Joseph, and hopefully she would give birth to a healthy family with enough children to ensure the future for her and Joseph. But the angel Gabriel showed up. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." How would she explain this to her parents? To Joseph? Who would understand? We were told that after the angel left, Mary hurried off to see her relative, Elizabeth. When Mary finally reached Elizabeth, Elizabeth ran to embrace her young cousin and worried relative. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." I think in that moment, Mary, hearing those words of Elizabeth, must have felt a sense of relief. In that moment, some of the worry that she had been carrying all of a sudden seemed to disappear. It wasn't that she was not going to face difficult things anymore in life, because when you read through the Gospels, you find out Mary was right there when her son was being crucified. But all of it paled in comparison to the beauty of what Elizabeth had just reminded her about. And not only that, but as we saw in our reading, that they sang about. Now, I could have went further and kept on reading in chapter 1, but I wanted to hold off. And the beauty of what Elizabeth pointed Mary towards was this: hope. Hope. Why? Because this is the reason. Hope shifts our focus from the difficult details to the extraordinary beauty of what is happening. I've told you this many times, and this happens a lot to me. We can be facing some one little thing in our week, I mean, in the week that we're living in, and that one little thing can set us off into anxiety and worry and mess the whole week up. And we miss the beauty of everything else that can sometimes happen in our lives. And the angel said to Mary, "The Messiah is going to come through you." But all she could probably focus on in that moment, I believe, was, "What's Joseph going to think? What's my parents going to think? What's the village going to think? I will be ostracized. I will be an outcast." And she needed to see her pregnancy not as a problem, but as a solution for her people. And from our perspective, for the world. How'd that happen? What changed? Well, here's what happened. Elizabeth helped Mary perceive her situation in a new light. Have you ever had somebody come along when you were facing a worrisome, anxious-filled situation in your life? And whoever that person or persons that came along, they just helped you to see that there's a bigger picture than what you were facing in that moment. Elizabeth helped Mary focus on hope. And this hope changed her. Luke tells us that she, Mary, burst into song and began to sing to the Lord. And here's a little bit of those words. My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. What words of hope do you need today? Finally, I think as Elizabeth brought perspective to her situation, Mary was able to begin to grab a hold a little bit of what God was up to, and her worry and anxiety subsided. Hope. Now, what about for us? Hope is here. It's here. It's here for us too. What does hope do for us? A couple things. Focusing on hope helps us enjoy and receive from God. And I think that's clearly what's going to happen in the story ahead. I'm talking about the kind of hope that still believes God sees us, knows us, and loves us in spite of what we're going through and facing, and even our own struggles with our faith and doubts in those moments. The kind of faith that believes God loves us enough to take on flesh and walk among us, experience our pain, and make a way for us to enjoy abundant life. The kind of hope that believes brokenness can be healed and relationships can be restored. The kind of hope that believes peace can transform violence and overwhelming circumstances. Joy can come into misery, and love can overcome fear. That's what I see happening in that story. And we can, if we go on here in the weeks ahead, we're going to continue to see how that happens. Focusing on hope helps us to enjoy and receive from God in the season. Second thing, focusing on hope helps us to be more open to what we have received in Christ. Open to God's presence with us. Open to God's presence at work among us. God's kingdom taking root in situations and so forth. The peace that we receive while we're helping others. The joy that we share at the candlelight service on Christmas Eve or with the family on Christmas Day. And the love we experience from those moments of unexpected grace in life. Here's what it comes down to. I'm going to be a little blunt here. If you want to ruin Christmas and Advent, be sure to keep on worrying. Keep on worrying about all the details and forget about the hope that we have. But if on the off chance we want to experience something more, maybe we need to turn our worries into the hope of what God has done and what God is doing for us in Christ. Don't give up hope. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts to share at the table this morning. And like we always do, we always take a few moments and share our prayer of thanksgiving and forgiveness. And we're going to do that this morning with a focus on hope for the season. And so I encourage you, if you would like to pray with me, that you would join with me as we pray. Let's do that this morning. God of hope, who shatters the yoke of despair, revive us in this moment. We have nowhere else to turn but to you. Sustain us in the midst of the hopelessness that surrounds us, and remind us that our hope is found in the light of your Son, our source of salvation. Fill us with your hope and heal our brokenness as we receive from your grace-filled table, so we may see a way forward today and evermore. Amen. And sometimes that's just what we need in life, to see a way forward in those times of worry and anxiety that we face. May you receive of his grace this morning. May you receive of his hope today. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses that are going to be serving us this morning, if they would make their way as we prepare to share at the table this morning. We want to let you know that all are invited to the table and to receive of the Lord and experience his grace today.
said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink from it, and do it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Well, let's just take a moment. You can shake a couple of hands and share the blessing of those close by. And then we'll close out with our Christmas hymn there. There's a song in the air. Take a moment.
Together for our benediction. Stay awake, for God is coming.
In the darkness, we see the candle of hope burning.
Go forth with hope, and may the grace and peace of our Father, God our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ go with us. Amen. Take that one out too.